Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the AFC South edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader here with the super fans of the AFC South. We're going to be talking with all of them in just a moment. James, who represents the Houston Texans. Matt, our newest super fan, who represents the Tennessee Titans. Dan, who is the Indianapolis Colts super fan. And Ryan, who represents my boyfriends, the Jacksonville Jaguars. All four of those gentlemen will have a nice roundtable conversation about the AFC South and what their thoughts are. And I'll share my game-by-game schedule predictions at the end of their conversation. But before all that, we want to make sure that you haven't missed any of our shows. If you've subscribed on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, AHA Radio, anywhere great podcasts are heard, then you haven't missed any of our division previews. This is the last of the AFC divisions for us to preview. We still have two more NFC divisions to come. But please do subscribe, leave us a review. We love reading the reviews that we get on any of those platforms. Your reviews don't even have to be all that great. Here's one from Lundrew on Stitcher. Love it. Great show. If you're an NFL fan, this has to be on your podcast list. I couldn't agree more, Lundrew. It's exactly what I think about the Next Fan Up podcast. So do subscribe on all great places like Stitcher to get your feed of the Next Fan Up podcast. All right. Hey, without further ado, here's the AFC South led by superfan James.
All right. And welcome to the AFC South preview extravaganza, I suppose. Coming to you this year is one new superfan. He's already made a couple of appearances on the podcast, and we'll get to him. But as is the new tradition here, we're going to start introducing everybody in reverse order of the standings. So, coming to us from the great state of Nevada, Sin City itself, is Ryan, our Jaguars super fan. Ryan, how are you today?
I am flying high. Not really off our record last year, but I'm in a good mood, ready to talk about the hopefully no longer 3-13 Jaguars in 2017.
Excellent. Well, I mean, there's nowhere to go but up, especially with the way the Jets are going, right?
You know, that's true. And we do play the Jets. And let me tell you, I got my eye on that game because I know it's too early to predict anything, but if we don't win that game convincingly, I will be disappointed.
Well, as we mentioned before, we do have the new Titan superfan, Matt. And he's up next in this. So, Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I've been out here doing National Guard duty for about a week and a half now. So, nice to take the uniform off and take a little break and talk football for an evening.
Excellent. And thank you very much for serving our country. Next up is the Colts fan. He's been around probably the longest of all of us in as far as the super fans go. Ryan might have to correct me on that, but it's Colts fan Dan coming to us from Indiana.
Yeah, hey guys. I just have up the Jim Irsay news articles right now, hoping he doesn't say anything embarrassing during the next hour or so.
You know, I guess of all the transitions, For Indiana voters, furiously checking Twitter to see if there's any late-breaking news is probably not a new development.
That could very well be true.
And the only thing I'll correct you on is not the superfan longevity, but actually the Titans were above the Colts last year. So I guess we could have gone Colts second because they were 8-8, and then we had those dang Titans at 9-7.
Oh, I completely forgot. You know, when you're so far up on the division, you know, the back-to-back defending division champ, you don't worry about who's in your rearview mirror, Ryan.
Yeah, you don't look down below at all the peons.
Only punch up, man. Don't punch down. So that brings me, of course, to myself. I am James, the Texans super fan. And, you know, now that you've been reintroduced to all of us for better or worse. Let's get into the division preview. So, you know, Ryan, let's start off with you. You know, the Jaguars had quite a few additions to their team in this offseason, you know, probably definitely the highest draft pick out of all of us. What were the biggest additions and subtractions off your roster heading into or on the eve of training camps here?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. You mentioned subtractions, and right away I thought of a few guys, but I don't know how big they are when you really think about it. So I'll talk about the additions at least at first. I think the two biggest ones have to be Calais Campbell coming over from Arizona. And I like what I hear from him. So, and obviously he's done great in his career, so I hope he keeps that up. And then big old Brandon Albert, who decided to show up. So he was not at OTAs at all, but that's okay. That's all voluntary. I don't really care that much. He showed up for minicamp. He said he's going to be there for training camp. He's a left tackle from the Dolphins. And, you know, he seems like, I mean, I would think he has to be an upgrade over Kelvin Beachum, even though Beachum did well last year, at least average. Our line hasn't been that great. And so when you talk about some of the subtractions, I mean, I guess you would say Beachum, but I would guess Albert is going to be an upgrade. And then, of course, A.J. Boye, I believe I pronounced that right. I've seen so many pronunciations that we got from the Texans. So that is an addition, you know, twice over, because we add a player and we take one from the division champions, and we're going to pair him up with Jalen Ramsey. So I like how that looks. You know, the more subtractions, I guess you could say Julius Thomas, who I was so excited about getting him to Jacksonville, but he never really panned out. And you know, we lost Cyprian, who I thought was going to be good again, but he really was kind of average, and he went in the division again, so maybe we'll hear his name later with the Titans. You know, we added Barry Church as a safety there. So, as usual, at least with the last few years, the Jags are kind of wheeling and dealing. And I like the moves, and it seems like it'll be good, but I feel like I was saying that last year as well. So, you know, Brandon Albert, A.J. Boye, Calais Campbell, big additions, and I think overall upgrades over what we had kind of last year.
Excellent. Dan, Matt, anything that the Jaguars did that, you know, scares you inside the division?
For me, I think it's just another year of that defense getting together. Last year, I think they had quite a few signings and brought everybody in and brought everyone together, but there wasn't a lot of cohesion. But adding some more talent to that defense and having another year playing together, I think is going to be the big piece for the Jaguars this year.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I would just echo all of that, but it does seem like the defensive side of the ball, they're just getting some really big playmakers, but it does seem like they do that every year, and it hasn't come together yet. It does make you wonder, with guys like Calais Campbell, seasoned veteran on the line, if that might help them to gel a little bit, make things a little rough on some of the opposition this year.
As far as I go, I mean, that Boye, I mean, the Texans, for whatever reason, just love to hemorrhage players inside the division. Last year, we were losing offensive linemen to the Titans. You know, it's kind of like an annual tradition that we get somebody that's worth signing, and he signs elsewhere. I don't know if that's just indicative of the team itself, or if it's a, you know, they just, you know, don't like to play in Houston. The other addition that I think is really underrated, and possibly because it happened so long ago, is, you know, Tom Coughlin got brought in as the, I think it was like, what, executive VP of football operations or some other honorary title. You know, that'll at least make a lot of the coaches' seats a little warm, I would think. You know, what's your thoughts on that, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, if we're including him in the additions, then oh yeah, we got Tom Coughlin back in Jayville, baby. So hopefully that rubs off on Doug Marrone. I don't really know. Although funny enough, watching some of the press conferences with Marrone, I kind of like it. I kind of like what he's saying, but again, just like what I was saying about Brandon Albert or maybe Calais Campbell, like I like what they're saying. Let's just see what they do on the field. It's the same with Marrone. Like the things that he says, it's way different. And maybe that's the only reason that I like it, way different than Gus Bradley. Marrone just seems to be no nonsense. He doesn't care about anything except for putting the best players on the field, which seems obvious, but Bradley was always kind of criticized for being kind of like a, hey, everything will be okay, guys. And then, you know, we never won any games. So I think Coughlin's overall influence on Marrone and on the whole team is a great thing. And, you know, if we do include additions, by the way, with rookies, Leonard Fournette, obviously, I'm very excited about. I don't know if we were just talking about free agency. And Tom Coughlin was overseeing everything. He's the man in charge, even with the obscure title that I think he nailed. You know, he knocked Caldwell, our GM, down a peg because Coughlin's in charge, but they all seem to be working together. And just the overall aura and, you know, the whole culture and everything, I feel like having Coughlin is a great thing. And speaking of no nonsense, that's definitely him. I just love seeing him talk in any press conference because he'll talk in the simplest terms and even more so, obviously, and with more success than Marrone. He's just completely no nonsense and all about just winning football games.
Excellent. So that brings us, I guess, correctly to Colts fan Dan. A lot of moves for the Colts and a lot of moves that in previous years would have been, you know, greatly unexpected. You know, what were kind of your highlights of the offseason so far?
The highlights have definitely been on the defensive side of the ball. We had a pretty impressive rookie draft, bringing in Malik Hooker and Quincy Wilson with our first two picks. Both of those guys I expect to start. Malik Hooker has the speed that maybe Wilson lacks with his press coverage, but Hooker can make up for the lack of speed with Wilson on some of those over-the-top throws. But it's crazy. Like, we're going to have at least 7 new starters on defense. We got a heck of a lot younger. Brought in Jabal Sheard and John Simon, another Texan that went in the division. I think they're both expected to start at the outside linebacker position to give Indy some semblance of a pass rush. They brought in a bunch of middle linebackers, Sean Spence, John Bostic. They drafted Anthony Walker, and they're all expected to compete at middle linebacker. There's no guarantees on who's going to start there. Edwin Jackson from last year, he showed a little bit, but I don't even think his spot's necessarily guaranteed. And then the big addition to the defensive line was Jonathan Hankins, who, according to him, they're going to have the best defense in the AFC this year. So that's pretty exciting to have somebody on defense with that attitude. And whether it rings true or not, it starts with an attitude, and he's going to bring it. But it's going to take a few weeks or maybe even the whole year for this unit to create some cohesion, as we saw with the Eagles super team a few years ago, and even as we saw with the Jags and the AFC South last year, even into this year. But the great part about this Colts team is that, well, hopefully they'll have Andrew Luck. So they only need a middle-of-the-pack defense to get Andrew Luck a chance to win some games. But then on the offensive side of the ball, they stayed pretty static. Drafted a offensive lineman, Zach Banner, running back Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack's, I don't expect much out of him. It depends on who you talk to as to whether or not they expect much out of him. They only added one offensive lineman, another division guy, and Brian, I don't know how to say his name, Schwenke from Tennessee. And then they brought in Kamar Aiken to provide some additional wide receiver depth. But I almost wonder if he's going to work his way into that third receiver slot and push out Philip Dorsett this year, or at least challenge him for it. So a lot of the movements were on the defensive side of the ball. I'm pretty excited about that. I guess the only real big loss that they had was Pat McAfee, number one in your program and number one in a lot of fans' hearts. He talked a big game and he backed it up, but he retired due to some knee surgery. And Dwayne Allen's another guy that we lost.
I believe Pat McAfee went into a much more lucrative career path of podcasting.
Exactly. What we can all hope and dream to be. But it's a pretty funny one. I won't get into that one too much, but I enjoy listening to it. And I think the surprise mention of the podcast is going to be an addition. Marcus Hunt, a guy that the Colts brought over from the Cincinnati Bengals. I didn't realize it, but he blocked 3 kicks last year. So makes me wonder if he's going to have an impact on a game that we might see at some point this year.
Absolutely. And it's very upsetting to me personally to see the Indianapolis Colts try and get better on defense and suddenly recognize that maybe we should put together a sturdy offensive line to protect Andrew Luck. They were kind of the paper tigers of the division, where it was the entire division was down and struggling, and they got by winning the division most years, usually in pretty handy fashion. But then, just like the Texans the past 2 years have been, were exposed in early rounds of the playoffs as just not able to compete with the higher level teams in the conference. So Matt, what do you think with the Colts chasing you? Any of the additions scare you, or subtractions make you happy?
I always liked these teams that will go after guys that came out with a high draft pedigree, like Marcus Hunt, Hankins. You got Jabal Sheard. I think didn't they also get Barkevious Mingo? Now, these are all guys that went early in the draft and haven't really panned out. But then the Colts take a look at them and say, hey, I think we can use that guy and find a role for him. And, if I'm opposing offenses, I'm looking at that defense and all the talent they can rotate in and out of there. And, that's looking pretty scary, really, on paper, which should ease things up for the secondary if you can get some consistent pressure on opposing QBs.
How about you, Ryan?
Yep, we're all in agreement on this defense thing, and I like how James put it, that he doesn't like it that the Colts figured it out. And I agree. Like, they should just leave that defense alone, so they keep going 8-8. That's what I want. But I'm interested in what Dan was saying too. And I was kind of thinking it, and then he said it, which is they're going to have a lot of new starters, and on paper it looks good, but in reality, most likely anyway, you never know, but it probably will take some time. And it could indeed take the whole year. And going with the Jaguars parallel again, I remember the main writer for Jaguars.com saying over and over again last year, we can be excited about all the pieces, but he thought it would take a year, which would be this year, which is what I'm hoping, along with some other new additions, that it really takes a step. So it could still take the Colts defense a little bit to get going, but you never know if Hooker's a star right away. Or I'm glad you mentioned Marcus Hunt. And I think he is good. We'll see how good, but Jonathan Hankins, obviously a good addition as well. So the defense is a little bit scary, but at the moment I'll go with it. It'll take a little bit of time.
All right. And that brings us to Matt's Tennessee Titans. What can you tell us about how they've changed this offseason?
Well, they didn't have any major key losses, except for, unless you wanted to count, Kendall Wright and Chance Warmack, a couple of former first-rounders that have sort of disappointed in recent years. They've gone on to bigger and better things, hopefully, for them. They did cut Jason McCourty earlier in the offseason. Apparently a disagreement over a pay cut. He didn't want to make less money, and they wanted him to, so they decided to part ways there. He's been sort of our stalwart, always count on him to be your number one corner, really the only decent corner we've had for several years, and so it was kind of a hit in the, the fan heart to see Jason McCourty go. But in his place, they've added Logan Ryan. They've added Sylvester Williams on the defensive line to kind of plug up the middle, and as already mentioned, they added Jonathan Seifert from the Jaguars. I think Seifert's kind of a in-the-box safety, not going to do a whole lot in coverage, but he does rack up some tackles, sort of almost as a extra linebacker, I think. So hopefully he'll be a help and an upgrade to what we had in the defensive backfield. Sylvester Williams doesn't really seem to be highly regarded by Pro Football Focus and a lot of these types, but I think he's an upgrade over Al Woods, who we had there. And Logan Ryan, I'm interested to see how he does as McCourty's replacement. We also drafted Adoree Jackson, so should be a massively improved secondary. Those are the names that you probably recognize, but the names that, you know, I kind of had to Google them to figure out who these guys were even, were Darren Bates, Brendan Trawick, and Eric Weems, all guys that are standouts on special teams, and that's pretty much all they do is play a major role in special teams. And when I looked it up, the Titans last year were 20th in punt return, 26th in kickoff return, 26th in punt coverage, and 18th in kickoff coverage. So had pretty terrible below average grades across the board for special teams. And so when I see them going out and getting players that have made a career out of special teams, it shows me that they're wanting to put some emphasis on some places they were very weak last year. And so special teams doesn't get a lot of press because really it doesn't get much to do with fantasy football and statistics and things like that, but it can really swing a game one way or the other. And so I'm excited to see what some of these new additions might be able to bring in that third level of the game.
Well, if anybody had any doubts on if Matt was going to fit in as a super fan, he brought up special teams. And that is an ongoing trend in all of our podcasts to bring up the importance of special teams. What worries me about the Titans from a Texans perspective, it's basically that they were trending up at the end of last year already. You know, they were projected, you know, to have kind of a below average or not a great season last year, and ended up surprising quite a few people. I remember the ongoing jokes of, oh, he's going to run, you know, exotic smash mouth in what has become a passing league. And a lot of people kind of interpreting that as, you know, Marcus Mariota was a swing and a miss on the draft, which how you could declare, you know, a quarterback a swing and a miss after 1 year as a starter is kind of mystifying. But, no, I mean, you guys basically did everything right. And, you know, last offseason you were setting it up so that, you know, this offseason you would just be bringing back the same core guys, maybe making a role player addition here or there. I think you guys are, you know, looking really good, and that it wasn't just some, you know, dead cat bounce for you guys last year, and you're destined to return back to the basement.
I have a quick question for you, Matt. Did you happen to listen to this podcast from last year?
I did not.
Oh man, we were so harsh on the Titans. I think we all had them finishing like 2-14, and we just didn't really see them having any shot of even competing for the division. And next thing you know, they're 9-7 and finished second in the division. So we're glad to have a Titan super fan this year to set us straight.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's been a lot of fun to hear the various fan perspectives from the other teams, and you know, to hear kind of the deep down in the weeds fan stuff from other franchises has been pretty cool.
Gosh, guys, right. Every time we get a Titans fan, they just seem like great people. I can't stand this anymore. This guy seems like you seem like a nice guy, Matt. What am I supposed to do? I mean, I have this like deep-rooted hatred of the Titans, but you know, all in fun, I guess, all in fun. But just talking about their additions and things like that. Another, you know, let's keep it trending this way. One thing that I just leaves a bad taste in my mouth when we do our awesome super fan mock draft, which I think is just, if it's not the best thing we do, it's way up there. A lot of times the guys that I just, you know, really, really key in on and think are going to be great and maybe even draft on my team in real life start going to my division rivals. So like Adoree Jackson is somebody who I looked at and I love. So speaking of special teams, I just remember seeing, you know, a lot of stuff on him as a cornerback, but also obviously with him as a returner. So who knows if he can do it as a rookie, but he should be some kind of defensive special teams dual threat, and you know, maybe won't start right away, but he could be an issue. But also years ago, I really fell for Zach Mettenberger and took him high, so that didn't really work out. So maybe this will be the same.
I do think you're right. The Adoree Jackson, everything I've been reading about him out of OTAs is that he's the most athletic guy on the field. So, they're really talking him up on potentially a special teams role, and there's even some speculating he might get some special offensive packages here and there. I don't think that's coming while he's a rookie, but I could definitely see him taking over the either punt or kick returner role, as well as being probably our number one corner.
Wow, that's right. You never know. Like, as a rookie, maybe that won't happen soon or maybe even this year. But, yeah, I guess you could see him in some offensive packages too. That's right. I remember reading about that. And Logan Ryan always seemed to be making plays for the Patriots. We'll see, just like we do with a lot of players, we'll see how he does outside of the New England system. But Dory Jackson definitely sticks out for me. And then I just gotta point out my boy one more time, Jonathan Cyprian. I took a gamble when he was a rookie, bought his jersey, still have his jersey, and he is at best okay. And it makes me sad that he's on the Titans now. He's definitely, as you said, Matt, he's a thumper. He's definitely down in the box, pretty much a liability in coverage, and never really put it all together. I would say Jackson and Logan Ryan look like the two biggest additions to me.
All right. Dan, any follow-up questions or comments on the additions and subtractions?
No follow-up questions today. Thanks for coming back to me. But I'm excited to see what Corey Davis can do. It's a little early for a receiver in most years, but I watched Corey Davis in the Western Michigan-Wisconsin game, and I watched him jump reach down over Wisconsin running or defensive back and just pull the ball pure strength away from the guy to score a touchdown in a game that, I don't know, it was a pretty big game for Western Michigan, maybe not as much for Wisconsin, but it was a pretty impressive catch. And to see if he can do that type of make that type of play in the NFL, it's kind of scary to think about, especially since the Colts are so vulnerable in the secondary to having receivers just go up and make plays like that. So he's a guy I look forward to seeing. Maybe not look forward to, but a guy I'm curious to see how his game translates in the NFL.
Well, that brings us to the Houston Texans. Lots of subtractions to highlight this, more so than additions. Let's start with the big one, the elephant in the room. And that is, of course, Vince Wilfork. Elephant in terms of size. He hasn't officially filed his retirement papers, but everything points to the fact that he's going to retire, or if he doesn't retire, he's probably not coming back to Houston, despite the fabulous barbecue joints that we have. This is problematic for a number of reasons. One is that, last year we had DJ Reader as the rookie nose tackle, who's now going to jump up into the starting role. And also on the roster, we drafted Carlos Watkins in the fourth round as another potential nose tackle, and then I believe we've brought in two college kids that did not go drafted to help compete for that nose tackle job. So with any luck, Vince Wilfork passed along some knowledge to DJ Reader, which it showed up a little bit in the play last year. He started to get some more playing time, started making some more plays, but was definitely making more rookie mistakes than flashes. Obviously, the two division rivals already mentioned the departure of AJ Bouye and John Simon. I was aggravated by Bouye because, he played really well, obviously, and we could have franchised him. We had the cap space for it. We still have the cap space for it. And, that kind of leaves just Jonathan Joseph yet again, the, ageless wonder that at some point you're going to wake up and he's going to be having that same precipitous drop that Darrell Revis or Nnamdi Asamoah, not that he's quite their caliber of player, but he's what we've relied on for nearly a decade, if I had to just kind of ballpark it there. We didn't really help out the secondary too terribly much. We've brought in a bunch of undrafted free agents that are hoping to compete for some back of the roster spots. But Kareem Jackson, is going to basically take over for AJ Bouye. We've got one or two other guys that are established starters from last year in case, you know, Joseph or Jackson miss any time. But, you know, Kevin Johnson doesn't really strike fear into the hearts and minds of offensive coordinators, I don't think. So that takes care of the defense, as is our tradition lately. We'll just assume everything stays the same or gets a little bit better. Obviously, Clowney played a little bit better last year. And, you know, everybody's banking on getting J.J. Watt back this year. So I guess we could kind of view that as an addition. But, you know, Dan mentioned our preview show from last year. You know, I was making statements of, you know, I wish he would sit out until we knew he was 100% healthy so that we could count him as an addition. But, you know, it's back surgery in the NFL. There's no great way to look at that. Obviously, on the offensive side of the ball, we traded up. And so now we have Deshaun Watson as a we'll generously say competing for the starting job. When your competition is Tom Savage and Brandon Whedon, it will hopefully not be much of a competition.
Whedon's going to win that one, right?
Well, I mean, Tom Savage has that great knack for just getting hurt, you know, within a couple minutes of being in the game. You know, I guess he's called Whedon for a reason. He's very weed-like, very hard to get rid of, just kind of pops up in places. You know, just as to continue the trend of bringing in undrafted college guys, because that's what you have to do when you don't have a lot of draft picks. We have something named a Zach Conk on the roster as well, who allegedly plays quarterback. So, outside of that, we made some late round offensive line moves, which is good. Our offensive line depth was definitely tested last year, especially, once Dwayne Brown went down. You know, you can never have really, I don't think there's too much or such a thing as too much offensive line depth. And, you know, the best way to build continuity is to build an offensive line through the draft with a couple of, you know, established veterans. And right now we have, you know, neither a bunch of rookies or a lot of established veterans. So that's going to work out great, I'm sure. And then the only other thing we did is we definitely had a need of at running back. I know we've got Lamar Miller, but, you know, when you've got a rookie quarterback and when you're coming off of Brock Osweiler, and I believe Lamar Miller had a career high in touches by week 10 or 11, you know, you probably don't want to put quite that much mileage on the guy again this year. We had a guy by the name of Tyler Irvin who had basically just played special teams and occasionally came in to spell Lamar Miller, but fumbled the ball quite frequently, had issues with even just, you know, fair catching the ball. And so what we went out and did was draft Dante Foreman, who also projects to be a special teamer and whose, you know, calling card from college was inability to hold on to kick returns. So we replaced one fumbling running back with another fumbling running back. And I continue to wonder how Alfred Blue has a roster spot, who is technically the backup running back, and then I see who's behind him and realize, oh yeah, that's why. The other subtractions I'm going to mention, even though it doesn't really impact us this year, it's going to impact us in years going forward. Much like the Patriots, who I believe we try and emulate, we will not be picking until the third round next year. Unlike the Patriots, though, we just traded those picks away instead of having them taken from us. You know, getting rid of Brock Osweiler was a huge addition by subtraction. Basically, we sold a second round pick for $16 million of cap relief, which would have worked out really well if we had then used that money to either extend DeAndre Hopkins, go out and sign a, you know, sign either Tony Romo or Jay Cutler. And that does not make me feel good saying sign Jay Cutler. Or, you know, extend Jadeveon Clowney when we had even a modicum of leverage over them. So now that I've tried to basically eviscerate my team for you guys, what do you think of our offseason moves? And let's start it up with Matt.
You know, I think one of the best things the Texans did this offseason was their moves at quarterback to include getting rid of Brock Osweiler, whatever it costs, because, you know, their defense is so good with, you know, J.J. Watt when he's healthy. Whitney Mercilus has been really good. And Jadeveon Clowney obviously getting a lot better last year, staying healthy. And, you know, but when you watch the games, you don't hear about this dominant defensive line. All you hear about is this mistake of signing Brock Osweiler. It'll be so good to have him off the team and out of the Texans jersey. And, you know, they gave up a lot to jump up and get Deshaun Watson. But, you know, it'll be nice to have something to get excited about, I'd imagine, as a Texans fan in the quarterback department. And if you go into the season with Tom Savage and, you know, like you mentioned, grabbing a Jay Cutler or somebody, you feel like you're setting things up to fail from the get-go. But, you know, Deshaun Watson is an unknown commodity. You never know what he might bring to the table. He might actually jack back up DeAndre Hopkins' value and some of these other receiving options. So, you know, I love what they did in the quarterback department. Everything else, you know, sort of status quo, maybe.
How about you, Dan?
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of feels like a weird offseason to me for New England. Like, it looked like they were setting themselves up for success, and they just didn't follow through with it. Specifically, like, the Brock Osweiler thing. They unloaded some cap room, and then they didn't really take advantage of it with some of their in-house options. So, as a Colts fan, that's exciting, but it would be a little disappointing, I think, if I was a Texans fan. But, you know, the J.J. Watt injury is probably the thing that sticks out to me the most, just because he's such a dominant player, and back injuries don't seem to go away. We've seen a few exceptions to that, so if anybody can be an exception, I think it's J.J. Watt. But I worry for him that if he tries to come back too early or if his back's not right and he tries to play through it, we might see the end of him soon. But he's one of the few division guys I enjoy watching, so I kind of hope not.
I definitely agree with you on the assessment that each individual move seemed to make sense at the time, but when you look at the whole picture, you don't really see where it all went. Like, as you mentioned, you know, you cut Brock and you get all this cap space, but then you don't do anything with it. You know, you let Bouye walk because you don't want to overpay for a corner, which is quickly becoming the new, like, overpay for a running back. And so that makes a little bit of sense. You let Simon walk because he just barely made the roster last year, and so you don't want to overpay for, you know, 1 year of production. But, you know, now here we are on the eve of training camp, and, you know, you don't really have a – while each individual move seemed to make sense at the time, it doesn't really add up to a whole lot. So right. How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, well, here's how I look at it. The Texans now, you know, from an NFL full league scale, you know, the other AFC teams that get to the playoffs will look at the Texans at least the last few years as a typically easy out, you know, whatever. But in our division, no matter how weak it may be at sometimes, the Texans are the king. And again, you're just going to have another good defense is what I see. It's just like, it's like an expected thing, again, to a much lesser extent of like a New England or whoever. But it's like we go into every year and you just expect the Houston Texans defense is going to be good. So we talk about the Colts getting better and the Jaguars getting better and the Titans getting better on defense. None of us have really shown it yet. I've actually shown it on the field. Texans are always showing it, and they did it without J.J. Watt last year. So maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't, but they're still going to be a good defense. So credit to, you know, Romeo Crennel and Mike Vrabel you know, on the defensive side there. And the biggest thing, we already mentioned it, and talking about players I fall in love with in our super fan draft, Deshaun Watson, you get your QB, and it's just the biggest deal. So I totally get what we're saying about not spending the Osweiler money to get rid of him and all of that. But I mean, if Watson turns out to be a franchise quarterback, doesn't he have to be the, you know, top five quarterback, then this team all of a sudden turns into a contender. And I would say, and most likely he's not going to do that in his rookie year if he is, but again, if you look at Dak Prescott last year, he showed that he can do it. And even though they didn't get to the Super Bowl, it just made him a contender. So basically, QB position is obviously just of dire importance. And I'm not even a fan of Lamar Miller in the running game, but if you get the QB going and you no longer have Osweiler there, you no longer have Savage, who again just couldn't stay healthy, but you might have an actual franchise quarterback, then that changes everything. Then again, if Watson just kind of, you know, fails, doesn't pan out, then all these moves don't really work, and the Texans are still kind of an easy out in the playoffs. But I just see another good defense, and it's all kind of on the rookie, and I can just say that I really like Deshaun Watson, and I am not happy to see him in the division.
All right, well, I think you guys have talked me off the ledge just a little bit. Now the AFC South gets to play obviously each other. That'll account for six of our games. We get to play the AFC North, and we get to play the NFC West. So, you know, all the games on the schedule, you know, what are you guys looking forward to? What's kind of one or two just key matchups that, you know, outside of obviously the barn burner that's going to be Jags and Jets, you know, what's looking good this year? How about we start with go ahead, Ryan.
I was just assuming you're starting with me since you mentioned the Jags Jets game that everyone will be tuning into. You know, I'm gonna take a look at the schedule here. Personally, for me, it's the Jaguars Cardinals game, just because I'm gonna be attending that one in person. But for me, I miss I've been a fan of the Jaguars a long time, and I miss the rivalry, even though I don't know if anyone knows it exists or if Steelers fans even think it exists, but the Jaguars and Steelers always play really close games. And just even that's off the top of my head. I guess I could look at the game logs through the years, but I would almost guarantee they're always close, no matter, you know, if one team's bad, they just play close games most of the times. It's a good game, and most of the time it's exciting. So I'm really looking forward to that one there. And it would just be so nice if at the end of the year, the week 17 matchup at the Titans is some kind of meaningful game, but, that's kind of pie in the sky for me. So I'm going to go with, week 5, we play at the Steelers, and, I just, no matter how good the Steelers are, I'm just going to expect it to be a good close game.
Right. I also forgot to mention that the as far as the extra two games, ours are against the AFC East, so first against first, second against second. And then the other division for that is going to be the NFC. I'm blanking on that right now, actually. So I will come back to that if and when I figure that out. So how about you, Dan? What's the what are a couple games that you're looking forward to?
Well, Chuck Pagano's notorious for not having a strong start to the season. So I think their first two games this year are going to be pretty key as to whether or not he can survive as the Colts head coach. And going back to that, can the defense get together? Or can get together and play together in the first year. If they can't, it's going to really show in the first two games when they play at the LA Rams and they have a home game against the Arizona Cardinals. So I think those are two games that carry some weighted significance, especially for Pagano. And then, of course, Bruce Arians is going to be making his coaching debut. Well, not debut, but it'll be his first time coaching against Indy since he was the interim coach replacing Pagano. So that'll probably be a pretty emotional game for the two coaches there in week two. And then there's a lot of division games this year that I think are going to be extra significant given how close the division race really came down to last year. So I think the Texans and Colts play in week 17. So that'll be a pretty big game for those two teams. And then like Ryan said, the Jags and Titans are playing. So this division could really come down to week 17 for all four teams if it plays out the way I think it will.
And how about you, Matt?
We have a home opener against the Oakland Raiders, and you know, that's a big game for us. You can call it the battle of the broken leg quarterbacks. Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota both had a similar injury at the end of the season last year, and so here we go, play head-to-head week one. You know, that would be a great game to come out and win. It's liable to be a close game, a tough game. There's been some talk about me and super fan Monty from the Oakland Raiders having some sort of a friendly wager over that game. So look forward to the Titans, you know, keeping me in the clear on that one. Another kind of an oddball key game that I think could be tough for us this year would be week seven. We're at Cleveland, and I know Cleveland usually gets dogged out, but you know, that's the sort of game that the Titans usually let me down on. The game that you are almost sure they can win, they go in and lose it. We'll be playing Indianapolis week six at home, and those games are tough, and that's a Monday night game. Those division games are emotional, and they're tough, and they're usually you know, take a lot out of you. And then so on a short week, we have to go to Cleveland and play a team that's sort of a wild card with lots of young talent and everything like that. That'd be the sort of game where I feel like if we lost it, it would be a demoralizing loss for the season. So we've got to make sure on a short week after playing the Colts, we got to go to Cleveland and beat the Browns and beat them with no questions.
All right. So the extra games that the Texans have are at the Patriots and against the Chiefs. So that definitely puts us in kind of a two-game hole against most of the other guys in the division, I would say. Patriots game is in week three in New England. We don't have a lot of success playing the Patriots, much less week three success in New England, as the Jacoby Brissett game pointed out last year. Hopefully it'll be entertaining. If nothing else, it'll be a good test. More realistic game that we have is against the Chiefs in week five. And then if, you know, we're looking to be in the playoffs, week 16, we get to play versus the Steelers. And then week 17, we finish it up at the Colts, as I know you mentioned, Dan. So we've got some really good stretches where we play, you know, playoff caliber teams. And then we thankfully get to mix in like the Rams and 49ers and, you know, the Jaguars every once in a while. So that'll be good little breaks. Tried to sneak that one in, Ryan.
I'm listening.
All right. So I guess we're going to come down to it. It is the prediction time. If we want to go off of Vegas, now, Ryan, I will say the Jacksonville Jaguars have become just some Vegas darlings. And I don't know if it's just because of you going out there, placing a couple high-dollar wagers, shifting the line. But when it originally opened for the over-under on the wins, they were, depending on where you went, anywhere from about 4.5 to 5. They've now jumped up to an impressive 6 wins on the over-under. As far as the Titans, the Colts, and the Texans, Titans and Texans both have an over-under of 8.5. And the Colts have an over-under of 9. So they're basically saying, we don't know who's going to win the division. We're going to give the slight edge to Indianapolis. But how about we start with you, Matt? Where do you think this division shakes out?
I'm going to give my Titans, I'm going to take the over on the 8.5. I think they'll end the season with 9, or maybe if we're lucky, maybe 10 wins. I do think the Jags will go over on theirs as well, but I think they're a year away from maybe winning the division or something like that, being in contention for that. You know, it's hard being a super fan to go anywhere but the Titans taking it.
Oh, absolutely. And how about you, Dan?
You know, I went through the schedule and I was sitting there before I started. I'm like, I can see Indy getting 11, 10 wins, somewhere around there, and started going through the schedule, and I got to that same 9 I think that Vegas got to, so I got the Colts going 9-7 and sneaking the division out.
Okay. So on that, I mean, just like a lot of people, I see the Texans getting right around 9 wins, you know, just detailing it out. I think we'll get a little bit of an edge as far as tiebreakers go. I think we'll do like last year, just getting the division wins that'll help us out, and then squandering them in out of division games. sadly, I think the Titans are going to leapfrog the Texans for division champ. I don't think the Texans finish in third, though, so I'm going to go Titans, Texans, Colts, and then the Jaguars at a gentleman's six wins. How about you, Ryan?
Well, as long as we're gentlemen. That's all Gus Bradley ever cared about. Let's see. First of all, going just from the Vegas side, like if I'm looking at that and they have the Colts as the favorites to win the division, that sounds like a bunch of hooey. And I'm just going to bet them. I would just go under just off of principle. Because I still see the Texans as the favorites in the division, just in my eyes. So I would say they, you know, if I'm putting money down on this, the way I would do it is Colts and Titans, I would go under and not by a lot, just by, that's just a guess that I would have, and the Texans over, and again, not by a lot. And with my Jaguars, I've said the last few years that I didn't expect, you know, a division title. It might have been last year that I said, don't be surprised if we get second place. I can't remember now. And obviously we went 3-13. I'm looking at exactly where they have us, which is 6-10 or 7-9. And I hate being objective because I would love to just say that we're going to take the division. It'd be a lovely surprise. I'll just go high for myself to make me feel better. And I'll go with 7-9. I see the Texans taking the division, and I don't really have a beat on the Colts or Titans record, honestly. So Texans win it again at 9-7 or 10-6. Jags go 7-9, and the Colts and Titans do something else. I'm not really sure.
Rock, paper, scissors competition.
Yep.
Well, I know down in the depths of the NFL tie-breaking procedure, there is a coin flip.
Yeah, let's coin
flip. Rock, paper, scissors.
We'll put the Jaguars in second at 7-9, even though I don't really believe what I'm about to say. And we'll put the Titans and Colts each at two wins apiece. Let me give a real prediction. I'm gonna put the Colts at 8-8 and the Titans at 6-10.
All right. Well, let's do, we'll do, it's not on Pod's list. We're going to go rogue a little bit. Let's just do one quick rapid fire. We're going to go offense, defense, and special teams. Ryan, we'll start with you. Where do the Jags rank as far as, you know, 1 through 4 on offense, defense, and special teams?
Oh, wow. For the division. Gotcha.
Yep.
Offense, we will be, with Fournette, I'm going high and I'm saying second. And are we just talking about yards maybe?
Well,
just general feel?
We got to do this the right way. We're not going to specify a metric. That way we can all be right and wrong in our own way.
Love it. You're right. We'll just edit that out and not really. Just forget you heard that, people. I'm just going to go second. Second best offense. Defense, I'm going to go second best. And special teams, I'm going to go third.
All right. Dan, for the Colts?
Well, I don't think I can match Ryan's enthusiasm with my pick. But realistically, I'm gonna be optimistic about Andrew Luck's shoulder. I'm going to claim the throne on offense. I'm going to claim the caboose on defense, at least for this year. I don't know. Maybe next year, too. Special teams is a wild card. I don't even know who our punter is going to be this year. So I'll take fourth on that as well.
Okay. Matt?
So on offense, we have a great offensive line that I love. We have a pretty good rushing attack that's maintained all the main pieces. We've added a lot to the wide receiver core, but I just don't think we're in league with Andrew Luck if he stays healthy, so I'm going to go second place offense ahead of Blake Bortles and a potentially rookie-led Texans offense. For defense, you know, the Texans, I think, are first, the Jags added all those pieces, so I'm going to go Titans at third on defense. And, you know, with these amazing no-name special team additions this year, Titans have to end up in first on special teams.
All right. So for offense, I can't say with a straight face anything but fourth place. I mean, maybe we can catch Blake Bortles there at third. I just don't think we can sadly keep up with Exotic Smash Mouth, or I guess we've legally changed his name to Andrew Luck if he stays healthy. as far as defense goes, I'm going to still put us in first, although I'm more nervous about our run defense than I would like to be. And as far as special teams, I think we carry on the amazing Texan tradition under Bill O'Brien. As far as special teams goes, we finished dead last in DVOA the past 2 years. And the year before that, we were a stunning, absolute stunning 27th place. So we've never played well on special teams under Bill O'Brien. I don't see that changing. And all of that is kind of why I don't think we're going to be able to quite hold on to the division. But so a nice 4-1-4 spread for the Texans as far as it goes in the division. Well, gents, do we have any other
special teams?
Yeah, you just bumped me up to second.
All right.
All twos, baby. Offense, defense, special teams, second place.
All right. You know, with that, Ryan is heading down to all of the casinos and betting those Jags some more, getting that win total up over 6.5. And we'll go from there. Do you guys have any other last thoughts before we close this out?
Well, I've got one. This is off script again, but just out of curiosity, you know, I don't know if every fan base is as pessimistic as sometimes we Titans can be, but just out of curiosity from your fan base perspective, if there was an Achilles heel for your team, what would it be this season?
That's a great question. I'll just try to throw two out there.
For the past 3 or 4 years, ever since Fitzpatrick, that's a bit too obvious. I would just say, diminished, lack of depth on the defense, because at some point, the lack of draft picks there and the lack of addressing it is just going to slowly wear away. Ryan, how about you for an Achilles heel?
Yeah, basically, it's just an obvious one, which is Blake Bortles, who I haven't even mentioned once on this whole podcast. I mean, if he just has another season like last year, the entire team doesn't really have a chance to do anything, beyond winning a few games this year. The other one that I'll put out there is the pass rush, and we have pieces and everything, but it just hasn't really shown that it can be reliable, basically. So, every now and then it's there, but again, if the pieces just don't really mesh on that side, then again, I just, it would be another fourth place finish either with those two things.
What about you, Dan?
For Indy, I get the sense a lot of them are still worried about the offensive line. Just not showing consistently and being able to protect Andrew Luck, and he's entering his sixth year now, and he's been hit quite a bit. He's been hurt quite a bit for a guy that's a pretty good quarterback. So I think that's their big concern. But I think another one to be afraid of is the pass rush. Just doesn't seem like they've really addressed that position too much. They brought in a couple of guys for sure, but There's really no depth there yet. So that's the other Achilles heel that I see the Colts having.
All right, Matt, you prompted the question. You get to go last. What's the Achilles heel of the Titans?
Well, I think the Achilles heel that would be most popular for the Titans would be the secondary, just being very unproven and maybe lacking some depth. But just my personal feeling on Achilles heel for the Titans is I'm not sold on Mike Mularkey as the head coach. He's had several stops around the league here and there, and kind of his high watermark as a coach anywhere has been 9-7. And he matched that last year. And, I wonder, and, if I'm a betting man, I'm not betting on the coach that's never taken a team past 9-7 to all of a sudden jump way above that and make a Super Bowl run. And I just hope that after all the years of mediocrity under Jeff Fisher, that we haven't tied ourselves to another 8-8, 9-7 type of coach.
Well, worst case scenario, you can bring Jeff Fisher back.
No.
Come on, he's so close to the career NFL loss record. We got to get him there somehow. All right. Ryan, any closing thoughts or comments?
I just want to mention one more time, probably didn't mention his name enough and how excited I am, but so excited for Leonard Fournette. I mentioned a few times, probably because it's one of the only things a Jaguars fan has to grasp onto, is we're used to having great running backs. So Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew, and then kind of a dry spell for the last few years. I really hope Leonard Fournette is the next guy.
All right. And how about you, Dan?
Andrew Luck's the big question mark for Indy this year. There's a lot of speculation that he's not throwing. He's not going to be throwing in minicamp. But really, there's nothing but speculation at this point about his status. It's been suggested that he's likely doing some semblance of a throwing motion, but I think similar to what we said last year about J.J. Watt, I just hope they don't rush him back into back into contact before he needs to, so that they don't risk him long term.
All right. Well, I think some semblance of a throwing motion is a fair criticism of how I would throw a ball. but outside of that, thanks guys for the in-depth look at the AFC South. And with that, we're going to throw it back to Pod Vader.
All right, there go the super fans of the AFC South. You know, last year I wasn't high on this particular division with the Texans. I had the Texans pegged as winning the division, and I had them pegged at 9-7. The Colts 8-8, Jaguars 5-11, Titans 3-13. This year I have a much different feeling about this particular division. I really like what's going on there in Tennessee. I think Titans are the cream of the crop in that particular division. I mentioned earlier that the Jaguars are my boyfriends, and I really do like what the Jaguars have put together, but the Titans have already taken a step above where the Jaguars are. So while the Jaguars might be my boyfriends, the Titans are sort of like my guys on the side. I'm looking at you, Tennessee, and I like what you got going on there. I like all the additions that they've made to that team, and I think that they can only get better, and I believe they're going to end up winning this division at 11-5, which will be the exact same record the Jacksonville Jaguars will have. And unfortunately, due to tiebreakers, the Jaguars will end up getting the wild card spot, while the Titans will be the division champions. So where do I have the Texans? Well, I have the Texans going from first to worst. I have them dropping down to 6-10. Listen, I know that they made some strides last year with that defense and arguably a lesser quarterback helming the team, but Deshaun Watson's still a rookie. And even if Watson isn't the starter, I don't have that much faith in Tom Savage. So I see the Texans taking a big, giant step back. And unfortunately, I think Bill O'Brien's time in Houston is on the short end of the leash. The Colts, again, I'm not a big fan of what the Colts have done for quite some time. I don't see them really improving their team. And so I have them at a similar spot as where I think they ended up last year. I've got them, though, one game worse at 7-9. I do think a lot of it, as was mentioned earlier, depends solely on the health of their quarterback, Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck can stay healthy, they might be able to win a couple more games, but I still don't see them vaulting over the Titans or the Jaguars. I think those are the two teams that are going to come out on top in the AFC South. So what do you think? Send us your emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. You can interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Of course, you can always just search Next Fan Up in the search bar on Facebook. The page is going to show up for you. Very easy to get to. You can go to our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. We have articles that we post there from time to time. Sometimes our superfans place bets on games that are going on during the season, and that's where they're going to end up paying off those bets. So nextfanup.wordpress.com. Greg, our Steelers superfan, one of the latest, he posted a review of Manchester by the Sea. That was his punishment for the Steelers losing to the Tom Brady-led New England Patriots. So, yeah, we want to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Get involved. We still have super fan positions opening, too. We have the Detroit Lions fan position open. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers position open. Also, the Carolina Panthers super fan position just became open as well. So, if you're a fan of any of those three teams, send us those emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. We'll bring you right in, and you can be just like the other four guys that were just on this podcast. You won't be this guy unless you're a professional football player, and that's backup quarterback Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.